223 BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Father, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, once again, for the precious opportunity, my Father, to come through these radio waves, Father, on this day, my Father, and just allow you, hallelujah, by your Spirit, through your Son, Jesus Christ, to minister to us, my Father. Hallelujah. Individually and collectively, my Father. So we humble ourselves under your mighty hands, Father, and we follow your instructions that you tell us here is Saturday in this hour, Father, that we can come through the gates of thanksgiving, through the courts of praise, through the holy place, all the way behind the veil that was torn in two, into your literal presence. Fulfilling your word that said, come boldly to you, to the throne of God's grace, and obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our times of need. And Father, we take you up on that invitation, my Father. So here we are in your presence, my Father, with a desire to feast at your table and to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to the church in this hour. So here's our cup, Father. Fill us up. Quench this thirstiness in our soul. Fill us with the knowledge of your will for our lives, your purpose, your intent, and your desire. So, Father, we can know that everything is all right. Holy Spirit, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand to fulfill the purpose that God sent you into this earth to do. And then God be the authority of God's word. It's in the God's word, the Son, Jesus Christ, to lead us and guide us into the reality of death. So have your way on this broadcast today. And as in always, Father, we'll be careful to make sure that we give you all of the praise, all of the honor, all of the credit. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever, in the matchless, precious name of your Son. Father, we could say it, Lord, where we could all understand it. Because your word said it. Because that's what you said, Father. Therefore, Lord, this is the confidence that we have, that if we ask anything according to your will, then we can know that you hear us. And because we know that you hear us, then we know that we have the petition that we desire of you. So thank you, my Father, for what you would do in our hearts, in our lives, in our families this day and every day thereafter. Again, we give you the praise, the honor, the credit. For the kingdom is yours. All those of us who dwell in it is yours. Everything belongs to you. You are Lord, so have your way, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God,
You know, when we end our prayer in the name of Jesus, you know, God wants us to understand something, you know, about when we say that. Because if you're just saying it, you know, because that's a cliche or that's our tradition that's been passed down, but you must have a knowledge and an understanding of what you're saying. You know, every time you say in the name of Jesus, you're simply saying to God, Lord, because that's what your words say. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What in the name of Jesus mean? Because, Lord, that's what your words say. In the Bible, in Revelation chapter 14, it says this, and his name shall be called the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, John chapter 1. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in him, who? The Word was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shone in the darkness, and the darkness couldn't put it out. He came to his own, who? The Word. And his own received him not. But as many as received him, he gave to them the power to become the sons of God. Who? The Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then later on, he say, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And this is what I like the most about that passage of scripture. What was he full of truth? Grace and truth. The word truth, that means reality of God. And then it says next, and of his fullness, what was he full of? Grace and truth. And of his fullness have we all received. What does that mean? I'm talking about the fullness of the manifestation of the word of God that became flesh, a man, and dwelt among us, that we might receive the fullness of that man that dwelt among us, that was the word of the Most High God. Listen, heaven and earth going to pass away, but the word of the Lord is going to abide forever. Glory to God. And boy, that's what God has called us unto, the feast at the king's table. Thank God for what he spoke, man, through the prophets. The Bible says in time past, God spoke to us through the prophets. But in this day and time, he's speaking to us himself through his son, Jesus Christ. You know, hey, listen, the prophet spoke for God. Jesus Christ is God. So that's a more sure word. Hallelujah. What Jesus said. Because that's God himself talking to every last one of us himself personally. Who? That's God talking to you. You want to know what God's will and what God's desire is, what his original will and his original desire and his original purpose and his original intent is for your life? Then hear what Jesus say. You know, the boy came down from heaven, boy, I think he was on the mountain of transfiguration after they were about to finish. And a boy came from heaven and said, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. Glory to God. Hear what he has to say. Glory to God. I'm going to say it again. Boy, if you want to know the truth, I'm talking about the original truth, then, boy, you ought to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Boy, what? Because, boy, that's Jesus speaking. That's God speaking to you. Not through the prophets, but God speaking to you himself. You know what the first word God spoke to us when he began to publicly declare his original intent and desire and plan and purpose for our life? This is what God spoke, man, himself, through his son, Jesus Christ, the word of God that became flesh. This is what his inaugurational message, his first message, his first public message was, repent. Why? What does repent mean? To prepare to change your whole way of thinking. Everything. Because the way you've been trained and conditioned and born to think is according to what I'm talking about, the fallen man. The man who had fell from grace and fell from dominion and fell from kingship and fell from authority and power and control over this earth. Adam didn't fall from heaven. He fell from his dominion. Glory to God. And God is saying once again to you and I, boy, hey, listen, you want to know what the original intent and plan and purpose and desire that the Father God has for all our lives? And boy, incline your ears to hear what Jesus said. What he said, repent. Why? Change your whole way of thinking. How come on in? Because, boy, the kingdom of heaven has come to you. And not only has it come to you, it's near you. And not only is it near you, It's within your reach. At hand means within your reach, within hand's reach. When he say repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, that means, boy, every that place, that environment, that atmosphere that all of us have been trying to get to and hope that we live good and obey God, and then when it's all said and done with our life here on earth, that we end up in that place. But Jesus Christ came with a message. What? He didn't come to take us to the place. He come to bring the place to us. Good God Almighty. Hey, Lord. Hope I could get that, man. If God could get that past our intellect and get that down into our spirit, then, boy, you will come to the knowledge of something, what? That everything is all right. In fact, that's the question that God, man, you know, instructed me to ask every last one of you under the sound of my voice. And that question is this. How would you feel if you knew that everything was all right? I'm going to ask you again. This is what the Lord is asking you. And I pray that you can hear the voice behind my word, that you can hear not only what I'm saying, you know, but that you can hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you about what I'm saying. Hallelujah. Because what I'm saying is the word of God, but what the Spirit of the Lord will say to you about what I'm saying is the revelation of the word, the reality of the word, the life of the word. Hallelujah. And what is God saying to us today? What is God saying? How would you feel if you knew that everything was all right? I'm talking about no matter what you might be going through, no matter what you've gone through, no matter where you are in life, if you're on a mountaintop or a valley low, no matter whether you're rich and famous or poor, broke, and hungry, boy, you can know something, that everything is all right. How can you know that, man? Boy, you got to hear once again, you know, what God spoke to you through his son, Jesus Christ. Glory to God. And boy, let me clarify something. He's not asking us how would we feel if everything was all right. He's asking us on this broadcast today, how would you feel if you knew that everything was all right? No matter what you might be going through, no matter where your life might be at now, no matter what the deal is, you know, you can know something. And in the midst of the trial, you can know something. Boy, everything is all right. You covered in his love. You protected, hallelujah, boy, in his care. You saved by his grace. And boy, wherever you are, he's there with you. Even if you make your bed in hell. That word hell there don't mean like the lake of fire. That word hell there means Hades. That means, boy, when you die. When you die physically, God say, I'm there. If you make your bed in hell, in other words, when you die physically, I ain't left you. That ain't all over with. I'm still there. I'm with you always. Why? Because I've begun a work on the inside of you, said the Lord. And the work that I've begun on the inside of you, man, I got to complete that. Why? Because I spoke it. And I'm not a man that should lie. If I said it, I got to do it. If I spoke it, it got to come to pass. What are you talking about? I'm talking about the word of the Most High God. I told you heaven and earth are going to pass away, but the word of the Lord is going to abide forever. And God wants you in the this natural realm, man, like the Bible says in Colossians, be translated and transformed out of the kingdom of darkness. What's the kingdom of darkness? Ignorance of God's word and what he has spoken concerning you. That's the kingdom of darkness, not knowing what God is doing, not knowing what God has said. Thank God for what everybody else say and everything else, but I'm talking about what the king say, what God said himself, and not just through the mouth of the prophet, but what he said to us again, man, through his son, Jesus Christ. Because the word that he spoke to us through his prophets was his permissive will, what he had to permit to go on because of the fall of mankind. But what he spoke to us through his son, Jesus Christ, is his perfect will. What he was speaking to Adam and Eve before they ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Hey, listen, can you imagine what life was like in the Garden of Eden? When God was walking and talking with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, unbroken fellowship, no sin, none of that. Listen, life in that place is not nearly like it is in the earth today. They wouldn't have a church in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 like we know it. They wouldn't meet men on the building, man, you know, every Sunday, man, you know, and having church. No, they was being the church in an atmosphere and an environment that was created by the literal presence of the Most High God. Can you imagine that? Living your life daily, 24/7, in the presence of the Most High God, and conscious of that, aware of that, you know, the reality of that. Hallelujah. Living your life in the reality that no matter where you go or what your situation is or what your deal is, God is there with you. And if he's there with you, then that's more than the whole world against you. If God be for us, then who can be against us? And the good news is he's for us. So if he's for us, then what can be against us? If he's with us, then what can overcome us? And the good news is he is. That's why Jesus said, man, change your whole way of thinking. From thinking I can't to thinking, yes, I can. Instead of thinking, man, I'm sick, think, man, I'm healed. Instead of thinking I don't know how I'm going to make it, start thinking, man, my God supplies all my needs. Change your whole way of thinking. Hallelujah. Why? Because all of the kingdom of heaven, that's your inheritance that was prepared for you before the foundation of the world, it ain't in the sweet by and by. Jesus said it was in the sweet by and by, but when I came to this earth, I couldn't bring that's in the sweet by and by that you're hoping to get to. I couldn't bring it to you. So why? So that you ain't got to try to live your life trying to get there. You start living your life because you're already there. I got to say that one more time. See, most of us try to live our life so that we can get to heaven. When in reality, we're supposed to be living godly and righteous and holy, man, because, boy, I'm talking about the kingdom of heaven has already come. It's already on the inside of you. It's already among, and those of us who have not received it and got it on the inside of you, then it's received. If you have a man come into the kingdom of God, it ain't we're in the sweet by and by. It's right here and right now, right within your reach. All you got to do is come to the knowledge of it. And as you come to the knowledge of that and receive that and start walking in the reality of that, line up on line and precept up on precept, then the kingdom of heaven can begin to be manifested in our lives here on earth just like it is in heaven. That's what you've been praying all your life. And perhaps have not really understood, man, and had the right concepts of what you've really been praying. What? Our Father. That's our source and sustainer. Hallelujah. Which art in heaven. That's where he's located at, in heaven. That's where his throne at, is in heaven. Hallowed be your name. That's giving him praise and honor and worship because he's worthy of it all, you know, because he has done great things. And when you come to the knowledge of what he's done, what he's doing, and what he will forever be doing, is doing, help him to give him praise and adoration and glory and honor and worship. Hallelujah. Hallowed be thy name. Then the first request is, Lord, let your kingdom come. Why? Because when your kingdom come, then your will, who will? Your will can be done. Well, in our lives here on earth, how? Just like it is in heaven. When, Arthur? When God's kingdom come. When the kingdom of God come to your life. What's the kingdom of God? What God is doing. And his ways of doing what he's doing. As you come to the knowledge of that, what God is doing, then I told you, boy, you will come to a place in your life where you will know that everything is all right. When you find out what God is doing and when you get in on that, when you start trying to get God in on what we're doing and come to the knowledge of what he's doing and get in from that, then the Bible says you cease from your works. You'll cease from trying to get to heaven and you start, man, living in heaven, man, right here and right now. Line up on line, precept up on precept. Forgetting those things that's behind us and pressing on to the prize of the high calling that's in Christ Jesus. What is that high calling that's in Christ Jesus? To be just like Christ. To live just like Christ. To act just like Christ. To talk just like Christ. And Christ wouldn't live it, even though he was on the earth. He'd say, boy, listen, my kingdom is not of this world. He was living in heaven on earth. He was living in the kingdom of heaven right here on earth. And he was displaying it and manifesting it and showing it in his acts, in the thing that he did, and its power and control and influence and dominion over every circumstance, situation, and symptom that confronted his life. None of those things that confronted his life dictated to him. He dictated to it. Why? Because he was operating in the original dominion that God gave Adam and Eve, man, in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. They lost that dominion. They lost that sovereign reign over every circumstance, situation, and symptom in their life. But, boy, it's been restored to you because of what God has done for us through his son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 5, you have become unto your God kings and priests, and you shall reign on the earth forever. Where art thou? On the earth forever. Fulfilling, man, the answer to the prayer that we pray all the time. Thy will be done. Let your kingdom come, Lord, so that your will can be done on earth just like it is in heaven. Now give us on this day and every day our daily bread, everything that we have need of to accomplish that. What? God's kingdom in our lives and God's will in our lives and God's desire and intent and plan and purpose for our lives. First, the kingdom of God. That's what the kingdom of God is. What God is doing and his ways of doing what he's doing, how he's doing it. If you seek that, you'll come to the knowledge of that. And then you come to the knowledge of that and begin to act on that, then God's will can begin to be done in our lives here on earth just like it is in him. When, Arthur, when you're seeking, man, first what God is doing, when you're getting in, coming to the knowledge of what God is doing, and then getting in on that, then and then only can you begin to experience the kingdom of heaven that has come to you in our lives right here on this earth. Arthur, you mean to tell me we can live on this earth as though we were in heaven? That's what God is trying to tell us from his throne of grace and mercy. And he tells a man not only from his throne and grace and mercy, he says you can come there. You can dwell there. You can reside there. And you can give man grace and mercy every time you need it. Why, Arthur? Because in that place, you stop trying to get what you already have, and you'll start having what's already yours. I got to say that again, boy. In that place, you'll stop trying to get heaven's, man, and all the attributes of heaven and the joy of heaven and the health of heaven and the peace of heaven and the provisions of heaven. That's your inheritance. You stop trying to get what you already have, and you just start having what's already ours. Good God Almighty. See, that's a different perspective of life. And when you get into that place, and I guarantee you, boy, you will grow in the knowledge that everything is all right. Because, boy, if your life is in his hands, and if your life, boy, is in his will, then it ain't no weapon formed against you can prosper. Not even death. Mankind greater than him. He said, what he said earlier, what you said earlier, he said, if you make your bed in hell, I'm there. In other words, he say, listen, it ain't over with. Man, when you die physically, that's not the termination of your life. That's the transition of your life. Hallelujah. Why? Because you got everlasting life. Where that everlasting life at? It's in the word of God. And boy, if you got the word of God on the inside of you and you're filling yourself up with the knowledge of God's word and God's will and God's intent and God's desire for your life and walking in it, line up on line, precept upon precept, then all you're doing is just becoming who you already are. You're already holy. You're already righteous. You're already saved, man, by his grace. You're already provided for. You're already delivered from everything, your faults, your mistakes, your sins, your habits, your everything. It's already done. Listen, who the Son set free is free indeed. He's already set us free. And boy, if we come to the knowledge, he's already saved us. He's already healed us. He's already delivered us. He's already provided for us everything that we have need of that pertains to life and God. This ain't something that he's trying to do. It's something that he's already done. Over 2,000 years ago, it's complete. You know when Jesus Christ came and when he got ready to leave, he said, Father, what you sent me to do, it is finished. Hey, Lord. What did he say on the cross? He said, it is finished. What you sent me to do, Lord, Father, What the Father sent him to do? The first to redeem our lives from the destruction. That's Calvary. That's him dying for our sins and paying the penalty for our sins. That's redemption. But don't just stop there. See, a lot of us, man, that's why we don't know that we know that we know beyond any shadow of a doubt that everything's all right. Because, man, we reading the Bible and developing our relationship with God through his redemptive work. And that's where it begins at, but that's not the end. There's a purpose for him dying on the cross for our sins and paying the penalty for our sins. What's the purpose for it? So that you can be restored back to your original place in God. That was in Genesis chapter 1, that was in Adam and Eve before they ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Can you imagine that? God has translated us out of the kingdom of darkness over into the kingdom of his dear son so that we can begin to live our lives, like I said earlier, man, back in the presence of the Most High God. That's what the redemptive work was for, to cleanse you up from all your unrighteousness. For what purpose? So that you can come back into the presence of the Most High God. People couldn't go man behind the veil in the old covenant. Why? Because there was sin in their lives. But the redemptive work of God was to cleanse us from all our sins so that we can once again, man, come into the presence of the Most High God without any sense of guilt or condemnation, knowing that your scar, even though you're scarred, walking naked snow through the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. So that's what enables you to be not only glory to God, not only redeemed, but restored. And if we're not careful, man, we'll be preoccupied with the redemptive work of God at the expense of forfeiting the end or the purpose for the redemptive work of God. What's the purpose for the redemptive work of God? So that you can be restored. So that you can come on back into the kingdom of God that was on earth in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. That place where God placed mankind at, in the Garden of Eden. You know, in simple terms, what you can understand is the Garden of Eden is man, heaven on earth. A place, a spot on the earth that God had planted on the earth. And there he put the man in. And then gave the man an assignment, be fruitful and multiply and replenish and subdue the earth. That's simply saying, man, make the whole earth just like this little Garden of Eden. For that same environment and that same atmosphere that's in this place right here might be on the whole earth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What happens? So that the original plan of God was that it be on earth as it is in heaven. That earth be a colony of heaven. Hallelujah. So that once again, man can be reestablished back up on the earth. For what purpose? So that, man, we can begin to, how can I say it, Holy Spirit? We can begin to reestablish the kingdom of God back on the earth and expand it. What? So that, man, you know, that Garden of Eden not only be in your life, but then you can share that, man, with others, your circle of influence, so that, man, the Garden of Eden can be in their lives, too, and they spot on the earth, too. That's what Eden really is. It's a Hebrew word, and the Hebrew word is written in strokes, and there are five strokes to this word Eden. First stroke is help me, Holy Spirit. The first stroke is spot. The second stroke is moment. The third stroke is presence. No, the third stroke is door, open door. The fourth stroke is the life of place. The fifth stroke is presence of the Lord. So what Eden is an atmosphere and an environment that's planted on the earth, a spot on the earth, with an open door into a delightful place. What's that delightful place? The presence of the Lord. What Eden is again, I'm telling my boy, God put them in, man, an atmosphere and an environment that's on the spot for that moment. With an open door into a delightful place, what? The presence of the Lord. What's that? The kingdom of God on the earth. And then he gave us an assignment, be fruitful and multiply and replenish and subdue this Garden of Eden. Well, be fruitful in it, be productive in it, multiply, expand it upon the earth. Excuse me. Expand it upon the earth. And then, man, subdue it, master it, control it, have a dominion and influence and power and control over it. Hallelujah. For what purpose, Arthur? So that, boy, when it's all said and done, that delightful place, the presence of the Lord, that God planted, boy, for that moment in Adam and Eve day, on a spot on the earth with an open door, what? Into the presence of the Lord. Good God Almighty. Remember when God put Adam and Eve out of the garden, God planted them angels there with them flaming swords to keep them man out of the Garden of Eden after he put them out so that they wouldn't eat off the tree of the of life and live forever in that fallen state. No, God put them out and protected the way back into that. Not because he was mad with man or punishing man, but because, man, he was in that place is a tree of life. Hallelujah. And God, after they fail, God said, I got to protect the tree of life. I can't let them eat off the tree of life in this disobedient stage that they're in this rebellious stage that they're in this transgression of my law that they're in now. I can't let them eat off the tree of life and live forever in that state. So I got to put them out of this delightful place, boy, that I planted on the earth for the moment to put my presence in that atmosphere that comes from me. I got to put them out of that place. That's why they ended up, man, in the wilderness. Why? Until, boy, I can, man, finish what I'm doing. I'm putting them out of the place, but it's not forever. Why? Until I can fulfill, man, you know, my promise. What my promise is, I promise to redeem your life from this destruction. I promise not to never leave you or never forsake you, even though you have fallen, even though you transgressed my law, even though, man, you have went against my will and my plan and my praise for your life. Yet, in spite of all of that, boy, my love for you is unconditional and so great that I ain't never going to leave you. I ain't never going to forsake you. I might not be able to live in you, man, like we would at first, but I'm going to always be around you. That's why God told Moses to build a tabernacle and build that place, man. And in that place was the gate. And then in that place, man, was the court. Then in that place was the holy place. And then in that tabernacle that he built was the holiest of holies. They couldn't go in the holiest of holies. Why? Because you can't go in. Sin can't dwell in the presence of the Lord. But God was all fulfilling his promise. What? I ain't going to leave you. And I ain't going to forsake you, even in your fallen state, even in your sin, even in your problems, even in your sickness and your disease and everything that you might go through in this life. I ain't never going to leave you. I ain't never going to forsake you. And I'm going to be a very present help in your time of need. Even though you might not understand it, even though it might not seem like it, even though it has not appeared like it. But even, man, if you die not having fulfilled or received, man, your inheritance, that don't mean that it ain't going to be. Abraham died having not received the promises of God, but he was fully persuaded that what God had promised him, he was going to do it. He was able to do it. Listen, Abraham never saw, man, the great nation that came from him. The Israelites, man, all his descendants like the sand of the sea. He didn't see that, but he was fully persuaded that God had said it and God had promised it, and if he said it, he got to do it. And if he promised it, it got to come to pass. He was fully persuaded, hallelujah, that he was a father of not only one nation, but a father of many nations. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Why that, Arthur, man? Because, boy, I'm talking about, boy, the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord, what God is doing, boy, it's forever settled. It's already all right. Why? Because he will have begun a good work on the inside of us. He don't complete it. You don't complete it. You just partake of the completed work. You're not designed to complete it. You're designed to operate in the will of God, in the desire of God, in the intent of God, in the word of God for your life, and just apply to your life on a daily basis. And that's what is taking place. God fulfilling his original plan, purpose, intent, and desire. God, And as we partake of that word, hallelujah, what's been made available to us was the word of life, and allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into the truth of that word, the reality of that word, then you come to the knowledge that everything is all right. And when you come to the knowledge of everything is already all right, then you can start feeling that way. You can start talking that way. You can start acting that way. You can start living that way. And guess what will be the result of that? Boy, you're back into the Garden of Eden. You're back into the presence of the Lord. You're back into that delightful place, that atmosphere, and that environment that's produced by the literal presence of the Lord. Listen, can you imagine what kind of environment and atmosphere it would be if God comes sit right next to you where you are? I'm going to say it again. If God comes sit next to you, right next to you, the literal presence of the Most High God, right there, man, wherever you are, in your car, in your home, on your job, wherever you might be, man, if, man, I'm talking about God himself, man, come in and sit right next to you. Can you imagine what kind of atmosphere and what kind of environment that would produce if God is literally right there in your presence? Boy, you wouldn't worry about nothing. You wouldn't be fearful about nothing. Everything would be all right. In the presence of the Lord, everything was all right. As long as Adam and Eve was in, man, the Garden of Eden, man, in the presence of the Lord, everything was all right. It didn't start getting out of order, and chaos didn't start taking place until they got out, till they were put out of the Garden of Eden, out of the presence of the Lord. But as long as they were in the presence of the Lord, man, everything was all right. They weren't worrying about nothing. Adam and them had no counsel, no sickness, or no disease, or none of that stuff, man, in the Garden of Eden. They didn't have no lack. They weren't, man, suffering from need or nothing, man. They had everything that they need. They had Almighty God. They was in the presence of the Most High God. They was in heaven on earth. And in that place, everything was all right. And boy, that's what Jesus Christ, that's the overall purpose, man, of Jesus Christ coming to this earth. Not only to redeem our life from the destruction that Adam sold us into under the slavery, man, of a wicked angel who went bad, Lucifer. Not but to come and redeem our life, pay the penalty for our sins and everything else, but most important, restore us back to the original place. See, most of the time, man, we read and preach the word is preached and articulated from the redemptive work of God. And we know what we've been redeemed from, the curse of the law. We know that we've been redeemed, man, and purchased with the blood of the Lamb and everything else. We know all these things, how Jesus Christ died for our sin, but we don't know the reason for it, the purpose for it, the why he did all those things. We know what he did, and we know how he hung, bled, and died. But, man, what we got to know most important, man, in order to know that everything is all right in our life is why he did that. That's the purpose for his death, burial, and resurrection. Not for you to go to heaven and get you to heaven, but so that you could begin to live in the reality of the heaven that you was in before they ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I told you Adam and Eve got put out of the Garden of Eden, and the man was there with flame and sword to protect the way to the tree of life. But now, boy, that way is going. Middle wall of protection that separated man from the holiest of holies, that's torn in two. And it ain't no more petition there no more. It ain't no more angels there with flame and swords, man. It's a door there now. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I'm not it. I'm the door into it. Hallelujah. But we're not preoccupied. We're not careful. We get preoccupied with the door and never come in through the door and get everything that belongs to us that's behind the door. Hallelujah. What Eden is a spot for a moment with an open door into a delightful place, back into the presence of the Most High God. It's a door there now. Who is the door? Jesus is the door. But when, if you're not careful, the devil have us preoccupied with a good thing, what? Worshiping at the door. and say, and what you've been and saying how great Jesus is and how powerful he is and all the things that he did and everything else. That's worshiping at the door, and he's worthy of that worship at the door. But, man, you know, that's not his original intent for doing all that he did. His original intent for doing all those things that he did is so that you can come, man, through the door back into your original place, into the reality of what Jesus said was, as I am, so are you. The works that I do, so shall you. As the Father sent me, so send I you. So that you can go and proclaim, man, this good news, boy, that, boy, everything is all right, no matter what you might be going through. So that you can go, man, and let the world know that God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world back unto himself, not imputing man's trespasses against them. Why? Not so that you can just live freely and know that, man, you know everything is covered, man, or you can live any way, any kind of way. No, man, that don't, listen, grace don't give you no permission to sin. Grace, man, gives you the ability, man, to repent from your sin on a daily basis, change your whole way of thinking constantly instead of until a place where you don't have no more sin consciousness, but you have a righteous consciousness. So that you stop trying to quit sinning so that you can be more righteous. Instead, you start being, man, awakening to right to how righteous you already are and sinning less and less and less and less. See, most of us got it wrong. We try to stop sinning so that we can become more righteous. No, only way you can stop sinning the way God intended for you to do is when you awake to righteousness, when you awake to the fact that you are as righteous as you ever going to be. He who knew no sin, God made him to be sin so that you might be made the righteousness of God. What's that saying? That you already are as righteous as you ever going to be. You're already righteous. You've been made righteousness. It's not your works. It's the work of God, what God is doing, his works, and his way of doing what he's doing. He, listen, his way of making you righteous is through, man, the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. And his purpose of making you righteous through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, once again, is so that you can be restored back to his original intent and desire and plan and purpose for your life. And that is, and that original intent and desire and plan and purpose for your life is so that it can be in your life here on earth just like it is in heaven. And what's the purpose for it being in your life here on earth just like it is in heaven? So that you can be fruitful and multiply. So that you can, man, begin to walk in the reality of that and help others walk in the reality of death, winning souls, man, back to the kingdom of God and the kingdom of hell. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And, boy, that's what, man, that's what God delights in. When you and I are back into our original place. And what's that, boy? Being fruitful. What's the original place? Back into the presence of the Most High God. And being fruitful in it, man, being productive in it, living in it, not just preaching about it, teaching about it, singing about it, having church about it, but living in the reality of that. And not only you coming to that knowledge and living in the reality of that, but helping others, man, come to the knowledge of it too. Hallelujah. That's multiplying. Fruitfulness is you coming to the reality and walking in the reality of that. And then, man, multiplying is helping others come to the knowledge and reality of death. That's winning souls to the kingdom of God. And then, man, you know, but, man, you being fruitful and multiplying, but, boy, I'm talking about subduing. What you mean subduing? I'm talking about, boy, hey, like, watching over it. Making sure that that's subduing this presence of the Most High God. Not only coming to the knowledge of it and getting into it, and then, man, helping others get into it, but, man, you know, replenishing, multiplying it, making the whole, you know, multiplying it, right? Just like that. And then after doing that, man, by how? By subduing it. What you mean for doing it? Man, I'm talking about, man, manifesting and living in the reality of it and helping others come to the knowledge of that, man, what's already yours, what? All of the kingdom of hell that was prepared for us before the foundation of the world. What God said, come. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 30, or 10, 25, verse 34, come, you who are blessed of your Father, and get your inheritance. What? All of the kingdom of hell that was prepared for you. All of the kingdom of nations that was prepared for you. Regained and restored back to you through more the original Son, who Jesus Christ, who is the Word of the Most High God. So when you come in, that's why God invites us into His presence. What the Holy Spirit is saying to you about what I'm saying, because what I'm saying to you is the Word of God, not just the Word of God that He spoke through the prophets, but the Word of God that He spoke to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that you and I, man, can come to the reality of what God is doing and get in on that and cease from our works and enter into, boy, a completed work. And, boy, when you enter into that completed work, then you just start becoming who you already are. And as you becoming, as you come to the knowledge of who you already are and that you are a completed work, then, man, I'm talking about, boy, you start living life, man, in the presence of the Most High God, growing in the knowledge that everything is all right. Why? Growing in the knowledge of that, that everything is all right. Why? Because your life is hid in God, in Christ Jesus. And he who have begun a good work that he begun of in you, to make earth a colony of heaven, he that begun that good work on the inside of us, he going to complete that thing. I don't care what you've done. I don't care about nothing about your faults and mistakes, man. I'm talking about, boy, the goodness of God and the grace of God. What the grace of God? To, man, make sure that what God begun on the inside of you, not only, man, be established in your life, but you come to the knowledge of it, man. Like I said, that you are becoming who you already are. What God begun on the inside of you. You remember what God begun on the inside of you? And then on that, in your Bible, in Genesis chapter 1, he said, and then, man, God finished with all his works. And he sanctified that day, man, as the Sabbath day. I ain't talking about a Sunday or whatever day we worship on. I'm talking about, boy, the finished work of God. We come to God, man, to just worship him, honor him, and give him glory and honor and praise as he continues, man, to bring us into the reality of who we really are in Christ Jesus. As he continued, man, to take us, man, from glory to glory to glory to glory until we all reach the fullness of a stature of Christ, until we become just like our big brother Jesus Christ in a fixed, predictable image of who he displayed, who he showed himself to be when he was on this earth over 2,000 years ago. Till we come to the knowledge and reality of, boy, as he is, so on to the work that he did, boy, as he is, we. And so he ended up being, so shall we. When the Father sent him, so sent him, so sent him us. He sent us to do the same thing the Father sent him to do, to reconcile the world back unto God, to make the world and all of us who dwell in it one with what God is doing. Not only, man, in one accord, but with one accord. So you can be in one accord, man, you know, and you can have a group of people that, man, that's in one accord. But it's not just enough to be in accord, in one accord, but you got to be with one accord. That one accord that we are in got to also be with an accord. What accord? What God is doing. And when we become, man, in accord with what God is doing, hallelujah, we don't only be in one accord, but we be with one accord, with what God is doing. And boy, we come to the knowledge of that again and begin to understand that, man, through the revelation of the Holy Spirit of God's word, then, boy, you'll come to the knowledge, boy, that everything is all right. When you come to the knowledge of that, everything is all right, then you can begin to feel that way. In your tribulation, in your hardship, in your pain, in your suffering, in your heartache, in whatever you might be going through, boy, you will know that you 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 know beyond any shadow of a doubt that everything is all right. Like my brother Wesley Smith told me, man, a few weeks ago, man, let me tell you something. He said, I'm out of control, brother. I said, you're out of control? He said, yeah. I stopped trying to control anything, man. I just cast all my cares, roll all of my burdens over on the Lord, knowing that he cares of me, man. I cease from my works on trying to get men what I already have, and I just enter into God's work, man, and start becoming who I already am. Hey, I'm out of control. I ain't trying to control nothing. I'm allowing God to control, man. I'm allowing God to order my steps through his word. I'm allowing God to do what he want to do on the inside of me and in my family and in my ministry and in my home and in my circle of influence. I ain't trying to control nothing, boy. I'm out of control so that I can get in control, in accordance to what God is doing. And I'm saying this, boy, Lord, your kingdom come and your will be done in my life here on this earth. Not my kingdom and not my will. I'm out of control, but I'm in control with what you are doing. Hallelujah. So therefore, man, I cease from my worries and my anxieties and all those other things, and I just know one thing, that when I'm under God's control and not trying to control things myself, hey, but when I'm under God's control, then I can know something, boy, that everything is all right. Good God Almighty. And boy, when I know that, hallelujah, then more I can start feeling that way. And I start feeling that way, and I can start acting that way, talking that way, living that way, being that way. What? Everything is all right. Why? Because it is. I told you, he who will begin a good work on the inside of you, he's going to complete that. It don't matter what the hardship you might be going through on this earth here because of Adam's fall and what it and Adam's disobedience and Adam's transgression of God's word, that what it brought to every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl, that as a result of what he did, all of us were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. It don't matter about that. That's why Jesus Christ's message was repent. Why? Change your whole way of thinking, because you've been born, conditioned, and trained to think according to this world that you were born in. And this world that you were born in is not the Garden of Eden. It's the wilderness. It's a world of darkness. Well, man, you know, mankind of ignorance, man, of what God is doing. And you know, man, what God is doing is will and intend instead of what God's will and intent and desire is. But boy, Jesus Christ came with his redemptive work so that we can get man through the redemptive work and to the reason for the redemptive work, what? The restoration work of God. Thank God for the redemptive work. That's a means to an end. But if you just be worshiping at the door, then all you're doing is worshiping, man, the redemptive work of God, what Jesus did and how he did it and how he died for our sin and how he opened mine eyes and how he healed the sick and how he raised the dead. And all you'll be operating in is the physical and the natural sense of death. But you won't come to the reality of, man, he didn't just, man, was opening blind eyes, man, physically, but he was opening his blind eyes, spiritual blind eyes, man, physically. He was blind to the truth of what God was doing. He was unstopping. Not only physical death is, but he was unstopping, man, spiritual death is, so that the church could hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us, man. Not just the pastor or our witness to one another, but like I always say on this radio broadcast, don't just listen to what I'm saying, but listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you about what I'm saying. Glory to God. For what purpose, Doctor? So that you can get in on what God is doing, so that you can cease from your works and enter into a completed work. Thereby, man, you know, walking in the reality of what God is doing in our lives. And I told you, as we know that and do that and come into the knowledge of that, then you know that everything is all right. And when you know that everything is all right, I ain't talking about hoping that everything is all right and just believing that everything is all right. But I'm talking about knowing. Hoping is good, but hoping is something that you don't yet have. Believing it is good because, man, you believe it. Even though you don't see it, you exercise faith in it. But, boy, when you know, you done gone to that man greater position in God. What? You know that everything is all right. Why? Because you know something. You're not just living in darkness no more. You're living, man, in the light of God's word. And not only in the light of his redemptive word, but in the light of his restoration work. And boy, when we begin to live in the light of his restoration work, what you have been restored to, what has been, man, you know, what you have been restored to, Where you been restored to? Back into the presence of the Most High God. Back into the Garden of Eden. Back into the man, heaven on earth. In your life. You know where it begins at? On the inside of you. In your mind, in your heart, in your thinking, in your thoughts, in your walk, in your talk, in your understanding. And when it's in that place right there, your subconscious, then it begins to be manifested in our lives. Line up on line, precept up on precept. Little by little by little by little. We are just becoming what God said about us. What he said about us. Let's make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them, who, mankind, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, everything that creepeth upon the earth, over all the earth. What he gave us dominion and kingship over the earth and the works of his hand on the earth. What he gave us that for? So that we can be fruitful, man, as we know what the knowledge of that is, so that we can be fruitful in it. So that we can produce that. Produce what? Man, why God gave us dominion and authority and power over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, everything that creepeth up on the earth, over the whole earth. Why? So that we can make the whole earth just like that Garden of Eden. So it might be on earth just like it is in heaven. So that earth might be a colony of heaven. So the same thing that's going on in heaven, the same lifestyle, the same peace, the same abundance, the same joy, the same lifestyle of God that in heaven might be going on, boy, on the earth. How is God going to accomplish that? Through his family of sons called you and I, mankind. What's his strategy for accomplishing that? By filling us up, man, with the power of God, with the life of God, with the Holy Spirit. Why? So the Holy Spirit can lead and guide us into the reality of that. See, the Holy Spirit is a divine connection between you and God, between God and mankind. The divine connection, the connection between God and mankind, and the connection between heaven and earth. Glory to God. Who is that? Yeah, that's the connection. Why? So that you may have full access, man, to what God is doing, and that we have full access to boy, how heaven is and life in heaven and how to live that life here on the earth. How? Not by power, not by might, not to man your will and your desire and your understanding, man, but how? By the Spirit of the living God. That's the role he play in the scene, to lead you into the reality that everything is all right. Glory to God. Why? So that you can know that everything is all right. Why? So that you could talk that way, walk that way, act that way, live that way. Glory to God. Why? And thereby, man, establishing it in your life here on the earth and helping others come to the knowledge of it so they can establish it in their lives here on the earth too. Being fruitful and multiply until the whole earth is filled with the glory of God. What are the, so the whole earth is filled with the glory of the Most High God. That's why God called us. That's why God redeemed us. That's why God sanctified us, set us apart. That's why God glorified us, manifested his will in our life here on the earth. That's why God sent us to go into all the world and let the world know, boy, that God was in his son, Jesus Christ, reconciling the world back to his original intent, plan, purpose, and destiny for our lives. And what that is again, that it be in our lives here on earth, just like it is in heaven. And why he wants to bring us to the knowledge of that? So that, man, we could walk in the reality of that. So that we can be out of our control of things and get in on his control of things, and therefore begin to decree and declare what the will of God over our lives, over our family, over our children, over our purpose, over our destiny. Hallelujah. And what that would result in, it being, man, everything being all right in your life, regardless of what state you might be in, regardless of what it might be, you can know that what it might be, but now, the way to go in life, and everything is all right. So that your life is hidden in God. Hallelujah. And your blind eyes, I ain't talking about your physical blind eyes. I'm talking about your spiritual blind eyes. Or be open to that truth. That your spiritual death is, will be open to that truth. So that your spiritual dumbness or not being able to speak, man, you know, you be, instead of, man, listen, you might be able to speak well and articulate well with your physical mind.